to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the year, to join hands and thank the Creator now when Thanksgiving is due. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings.
Okay, welcome back. We're in the Worm. It's 24 November, the year of our Lord, 2021. We're kicking off our Thanksgiving coverage, our Thanksgiving special tomorrow morning. We're going to have Bo Snerdly, James Golden, Rush Limbaugh's sidekick for 30 years. Also, Dr. Carol Swain. We're going to talk about the traditions of Thanksgiving. And we're also going to have the combat historian Patrick K. O'Donnell, which we have in to talk about the proclamation, really, of President Lincoln that kicked off, really started the tradition we have today of the fourth Thursday in every November, with the proclamation in 1863, Roger Kimball, one of the great editor of New Criterion, to talk about Thanksgiving in the modern age, the left's kind of assault on Thanksgiving. So a lot to do tomorrow. You're going to really want to see. We pride ourselves in putting together these specials. That's the voice of Johnny Cash, the Thanksgiving song, which I think is one of the unheralded gems of Johnny Cash, which has so many such amazing music from the American Songbook. One of the things about a nation that has gratitude is that, particularly in the time that we're living, right? This is a fourth turning in this country. It's just as tumultuous as the Revolution, the Civil War, the Great Depression, World War II. We're either going to be one thing on the other side of this, either the Constitutional Republic that was bequeathed to us with, 13 or 14 generations of sacrifice to get us here, or we're going to be something totally different, radically different. And you can see and we don't know what the outcome of that's going to be. It's all to be determined, right? All to be determined. And what's going to determine that is human agency and human action. Remember, divine providence works through human instruments, right? And that's what this show's about. That's what this our effort here is about action, 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 and human agency. What we do is try to provide you information, access to people, access to ideas, access to concepts, whether it's books, websites, individuals, interviews, etc., and we ask you to do your own work and then to volunteer, whether it's a precinct committeeman, to go to precinctstrategy.com to do that, or whether it's to go to a school board and let your voice be heard and join one of these groups that's trying to contest this cultural Marxism, this poison that's trying to be put into our system, or it's become an election official, right, or to get ready to serve in Trump's next term. Right, as the 4,000 people that were political appointees for the Trump administration that we never filled out in the first term, we have to do it this time. Of course, the left is in this week's The Week magazine has a huge story. I think it's not the cover story, but I think it's on the cover. Steve Bannon's Bannon's radical vision. That radical vision is basically go to a school board, let your voice be heard, sign up to be a precinct committeeman, go be an election official, or get ready and learn your job to serve in another Trump administration. That's radicalism. No, that's democracy. On MSNBC and CNN every night, it's about, you know, January 6th and insurrectionists. But what they are afraid of is small d democracy. They're most concerned about an engaged citizenry actually becoming engaged. And this Thanksgiving, to me, everyone should give praise and thanks that you live in times like these. That you live in times like these, that you, of the 114 billion people that have, I think a scientist did an analysis one time to calculate that 114 billion people had lived on Earth, that you live in this time. You live in this time because this time is just as important as the Revolution or the Civil War or the Great Depression or World War II. And it's time to stand up and use your agency. I want to go back to Joe Reek. Joe, about information. And this is why I keep holding up the Financial Times, because they made such a big deal about this, about to get gas prices. It's these oil companies. Look, I'm no fan of the oil companies, but there's all these greedy oil companies. And what we got to do is take the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and we got to beg China. China and Japan, if they all put theirs out, we're going to solve it. His Secretary of Energy didn't even know. Reporter asked, hey, tell me, how many barrels a day do you? She didn't have a clue. which tells you how serious they are, how lack of serious. He puts out 50 million barrels, and the Financial Times says has not only no impact, prices go up, right? You're being spun every day. So, Joe, what are people to do? How are they going to get information? How can citizens out there get access to information and make their own decisions about this?
Well, I love what you said earlier, Steve, about being in the time that we are, but also doing being thankful for where we're at right now. We're at Thanksgiving. You're going to be having your family, your close friends coming over to your homes. Now is the time to talk about it. Discuss it with your family. Come up with a plan. Because I'll tell you what, Steve, nobody's going to care more about your survival than yourself. And if you don't have a plan, if you don't do your own research, you're going to be left in the cold. Do your research now. Find out, what to do in an emergency. Talk about it with your family. Come up with a plan. You talked about, finding out what to do. Now is the perfect time to do it. Those that know what's happening or what's going to be happening, those guys are prepared. Now is the time to do it if you're not prepared.
Listen, this is what I love. We have the guys at Birch Gold come on here. They open themselves up. All of our spot come and open themselves up to the audience, getting in touch with them. How do people get in touch with you guys at My Patriot Supply and how they get more access to information? This is what I want you guys to take away from this. It's incumbent upon you to take personal action to start to think through all possibilities, right? You just have to think it through. You got to be prepared. Like the Boy Scouts, just be prepared. You have to be prepared. And that means it's incumbent upon you, your action to do this. So, Joe, how do they get access to you guys?
Go to mypatriotsupply.com. If you don't know where to start, give us a call. We have preparedness specialists on the phone ready to help you out. The beautiful thing about our product, Steve, is there's not a one-size-fits-all. Every family is going to be different. Every family is going to have their unique circumstances. We can put together a plan that fits your needs, exactly what you need for you and your family. If you don't know where to start, call us. We are here. We have customer service available 24/7, 365. We will always speak with a live person here at My Patriot Supply. Everybody here is local, and we're standing by waiting to help you. We have years and years of experience. If you don't know where to start, call us. We're more than happy to walk
you through. Okay. You will call and get a human. Okay. So 24/7, 365. Joe Reek, yep. Thank you so much for coming on here. Just can you give the number one more time, and we'll put it up in all the chat rooms. What's the number people should call?
Go to mypatriotsupply.com, click on the link at the very top of the website for the toll-free number, but mypatriotsupply.com is where you can get all the information. Steve, we appreciate you guys. We appreciate the War Room. Hope you guys have a blessed Thanksgiving and enjoy this time with you and your family.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. This is about human agency. One of the things I'm most excited about this show is how it's become a platform for people to get engaged of all walks of life. People had never thought in a million years they'd run for office. People had never thought that they would become a precinct committeeman. Nobody thought they would go to be an election official. We've got two now from the great state of Texas that I want to give some air to. Greg Cooper. Greg, you're a former Marine, sir. Can you walk through your service?
In the Marine Corps out of high school during Gulf War I in 1990. And then I went into law enforcement at the end of Gulf War I once that ended. And then after 9/11, I decided to go back in the military. I went in the Army, wanted to be a medic, and ended up serving with 2nd Battalion, 75th Ranger Regiment as a Special Operations Combat Medic. And I did 8 deployments for my country. So I retired on the team.
And you retired at what rank did you retire, Greg?
An E6 medic at a Ranger Battalion.
Okay, so Sergeant Cooper, talk to us about it's social emotional learning. We've been doing Loudoun County, we've been doing Virginia, all the intensity here, Arizona, and it's all been critical race theory. But there's something actually, the moms have been saying, hey, just don't focus on critical race theory. There's something actually more insidious than that. You've put your finger on it. Walk us through social emotional learning. What's the problem with it, and what are you doing about it, and why have you become so controversial about it?
Social-emotional learning began and evolved from what was called the whole child concept in the late 60s. It was designed to dive into different ways to teach children and tap into different emotions and stuff like that. It began fairly benign, but like most things, the wrong individuals get their hands into it and it becomes toxic and it's corrupted. So 1994, an organization called CASEL began to consolidate this whole child concept, and they developed social-emotional learning, and that was 1994. And they began to really refine this. 2004, the first state implemented some standards for this. 2009, the first federal act and federal guidelines came into play. And 2016, and this was key for transitioning from critical race theory to social-emotional learning. So 2016, statewide implementation began to become the new hotness. So now we have statewide implementation with this social-emotional learning. However, at that point, it wasn't...
Hang on. So look, the whole child, what's your beef? It sounds like we're trying to help kids. You know, you got to help them with their emotions. You got to help them socially. Why is this a problem? Tell me why it's a problem.
Great question, Steve. The problem is that in 2020, it has transformed and they changed the definition of this. And this is the key to the fight. The argument is not with social emotional learning when it was in its infancy and how it developed. The problem is how it has been corrupted. So the question is, how has it been corrupted? Well, critical race theory has become so toxic and it's so broad that you can't discuss that anymore. And you can't get anybody to put your finger on it. You can't identify it. So we need to attack social-emotional learning. So how does it get into the schools? Well, the American Rescue Plan. The American Rescue Plan offered substantial amounts of funding to public schools to make up for what they were calling learning loss. Learning loss was the deficits created from sending children home to do homeschooling and learning online instead of in person. This was a noble cause. Here again, federal government involved, poor ideology, it gets corrupted. So the American Rescue Plan offered what was called the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Grant, or ESSER. We're going to focus on the ESSER 3 funding grant today. So the ESSER 3 funding was a specific part of the American Rescue Plan that went to identify learning loss. But it mandated if a school took this money that 20% of it had to be used for social emotional learning, and it had to be approved curriculum. So the approved curriculum that American Rescue Plan through the ESSER 3 funding is driving is the vehicle for the ideology, if that makes sense.
How's the parents out there? Because now people are focused on social-emotional learning. Tell me how they stop this. What's the actions to actually stop it?
The biggest problem is access to the curriculum. The hardest part is the school is getting pushback on accessing this curriculum. You need to get in person. The school systems are relying on the curriculum providers and vendors' copyright licenses to prevent parents like me from accessing this information. So we have had three meetings with our school district so far. The first one was with the principal, and the principal would only click on various things through one portion of a lesson and provide a little bit of paperwork. Then we moved on to what is called the learning design and curation coordinator, who allowed a little bit more access and provided some binders. We were demanding the online digital curriculum because that's where the corruptible stuff is. The third meeting, we finally got access to that when we met with the social emotional learning coordinator. Once we had access to that, we see videos.
Hey, Sergeant Cooper, hang on for 1 second. We're going to take a short commercial break here. Danielle Weston will also join us. We got Darren Beatty on the other side. Short commercial break, kicking off our holiday weekend, the long weekend coverage here in the war room. Be back in a moment.
I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. I'm grateful for the laughter.
Okay, John Yarmuth is the head of the Budget Committee for the Democrats in the House. Guess what he did today? He announced his retirement. You know why? he's one of the guys responsible for this fiasco up here of $5 trillion of additional spending over the $1 trillion to $1.5 trillion deficit we're going to run on an annual basis. Long story short, we're about to add $45 trillion of debt to the balance sheet of the United States. You know what that means for you? It means it's time for you to get out of your kind of sleep and to wake up and understand that you've got to now take action to look at every available store of value, because they're going to crush the United States dollar. The way you do that is text. You got to go to Birch Gold. AAA rated by the Better Business Bureau. They're the guys to go to start to understand precious metals as an alternative. How do you get there? It's simple. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at 484848. That is Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at the number 484848. It's no obligation. You're not committed to anything. You get a 20-page brochure that starts it off. Then you can talk to Philip Patrick and all the great team at Birch Gold. Remember, the United States government, not you, is on a death struggle with the U.S. dollar. It's now time for you to start thinking about your financial alternatives. One of them you have to consider is precious metals, gold and silver. Go to the folks at Birch Gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at the following number, 484848. Take action. Use your agency. Do it today.
We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving.
Okay, that is the great Johnny Cash, the Thanksgiving song. We kick off our coverage here. I want to go back to Greg Cooper. So, Greg, we're a little pressed for time. We'll have you back on to go in more depths. But the social-emotional learning obviously is a big deal. Precisely, what are you guys trying to accomplish down in Texas at this school board? What the parents are there, you're obviously engaged. You found out kind of the lies and misrepresentations, but what actions are you taking and what do you hope to accomplish?
Bottom line is the American Rescue Plan and this ESSER III funding grants have required that they do certain things. So now the district is on a tactical pause seeking legal guidance. We are trying to stand up a parental committee that will work with the district to deep dive any potential vendor or
are they taking a pause for tactical pause for legal because they got Sergeant Greg Cooper in their grill? Are they trying to actually get a solution about how they've taken this money and unwind it? Are they saying, hey, we need a tactical pause because Cooper and his compadres are all over us? What is it?
Oh, you nailed it. The bottom line is, they are so busy and tasked that when a parent dives into this, they are not the smartest person in the room. So we had to define, was it willful incompetence or was it a willful deception or was it gross incompetence? And we're beginning to think it's gross incompetence. So we need to educate them. They gloss over what this curriculum is.
Here's what I think is important. I got to get you. We'll have you back on. You need to help enlighten and school up all the parents across the country. That's why we're now pivoting to social emotional learning. How do they get to your fight? You're emblematic of thousands of fights that are going to take place in this country. Okay, that's where we had you on. You're emblematic. Engage parents that start asking questions, they get double talk, right? And they go, oh, well, you know, we took this money, this grant, this thing, they're going to throw the whole administrative state at you, all bureaucracy, to try to wear you down and just get tired because you've got jobs, you've got kids to raise, all that. It's the relentless that are going to win this. They're taking a tactical pause because they're trying to figure out what to do with Greg Cooper and his bad hombres. Tell people how they follow your fight. What's your social media? How do they get to you on Facebook or wherever? Walk us through that.
So initially, we were having problems on social media, so we developed a it's called Godly Patriots, and we're dumping information in there, allowing people to go there and research it. That's where we're dumping it now. And then once we're through this with our school district, behind the scenes, we're developing a step-by-step process for how other parents can attack their district surgically in this fight.
Perfect. You're a good man. Okay, Godly Patriots is a .com. It's a website, Godly Patriots,
one
word.
It's a Facebook group right now. We're transitioning it to something a little bit more palatable for us.
On On Facebook, it's Godly Patriots. If you can get that to our team, I want to put it up on all our platforms. Cooper, you're a good man. We're going to have you back on. Keep fighting.
Thank you. Get it on. Thank you to the mothers. Fathers, get in the fight.
A tactical pause. They had a school board meeting. Cooper's here again with his people. Let's have a tactical pause here so we can call the lawyers. Somebody, they're trying to take a tactical pause. They're all out. Danielle Weston. Saw her in the John Fredericks outside the Beltway of an exclusive interview that day. It was incredible. John Fredericks, our guy, was all over the story. Why, ma'am, why are they hating on you down in Texas? Why are these school boards and school districts hating on you?
Well, I tell you what, they're hating on me because I am representing parents. It's very nice to meet you, Steve, and happy Thanksgiving to you and to all of your viewers. I'm talking to you from Round Rock, Texas, just north of Austin. Round Rock ISD is an enormous suburban school district here with 47,000 students. I'm an Air Force veteran. My husband and I have a blended family of five children. And this school board is out of control, and they are coming after me because back in September, they would not let parents into a school board meeting. I was elected about a year ago on a platform of really being here to represent parents and advocate for parental rights and prioritizing the educational needs of children. And in September, we had parents who wanted to attend our board meeting, and they only let in 18 people. So I interrupted the meeting, and I said, you need to let these people in. This is ridiculous. And the reward for that from my colleagues, and then I actually walked out of that board meeting very peacefully, but the reward for standing up for parents as a school board member in a public meeting was that they want to censure me. And so I've had to hire a lawyer at great expense to myself and my family. This has been very financially punitive, Steve. I would invite your viewers to look at my website, Weston4RoundRock. That's Weston, F-O-R, RoundRock.com, and help me fight because these other trustees are standing on a mountain of tax dollars that they are using instead of educating our kids, addressing the historic learning loss from having our schools closed last year, addressing the needs of teachers to refocus and get their kids back up to speed. They're going after me personally. They want to destroy me.
What is the specific thing? You're a school board member. What specifically triggered them to come after you legally?
Well, it started. Everything became adversarial, I would say, in April, when I and the other conservative school board member, Mary Bone, stopped wearing masks in our school board meetings and stopped wearing masks everywhere. And then the school board just started voting over and over and over for this mask mandate, and we just refused to comply. And then we had conflict in deciding who the superintendent was going to be. So, you know, Mary and I were on the losing end of that. But, Steve, for these people, winning on all these consequential votes is not enough. They've got to go after me personally. And I will tell you that I'm in possession of emails that started in July and before our the controversial September 14th meeting, where they were already plotting to censure me. They are very concerned that they are all up for re-election next year, and Mary Bone and I are not. And so they're very concerned that a lot of community members are getting very engaged and paying attention and organizing and talking to each other. And a lot of eyeballs are looking at the November 2022 school board elections here in Round Rock ISD next year. And they're concerned that this thing is about to flip. And the only way to prevent it is to get my scalp and to get Mary Bone's scalp. And so in my view, they are using the tax dollars, the mountain of tax dollars that they stand on, to go after us. They want to censure us. They want a scarlet letter on us. They want to marginalize us.
So I know you're a fighter. So how can people, by the way, real quickly, I thought Abbott and Paxton, the attorney general, had this whole thing sorted out in Texas. You're telling me that's not the case?
Well, there have been all kinds of lawsuits going back and forth. Ken Paxton, our attorney general, actually sued Round Rock ISD as one of the school districts for continuing this mask mandate, but there have been some recent decisions, including from a federal judge, that makes, I think, school districts like mine feel empowered, as long as they have the support of the majority of the board, to continue with the forced masking of children as a condition of receiving a public education. But that the situation is in flux because of a recent federal court case. But folks can find out more, and again, if you go to westonforroundrock.com, financial help is needed, Steve. I'm not going to lie. My family, you know, my husband and I, we were both Air Force officers. We have a large family. We were not prepared for the punishing financial pain that is being inflicted on us. So I would really ask your viewers, you know, if you really care about the fact that school boards are the front lines in a battle today. And last year I stood up and I ran. I stepped forward. I said, send me, I will serve. And I am serving on the school board. I'm doing exactly what I said I was going to do when I campaigned. Parental rights, yep. The rule of law, and open government.
We will figure this out. We'll talk to you after the show. We'll get this sorted. Okay. Weston and Bone down in Texas, north of Austin. One more time, how do people get to you? What's your website? What's your social media?
It's Weston for Round Rock. That's Weston, F-O-R, roundrock.com. And on my website, the donate tab, you can also link to my colleague, Trustee Mary Bones, to donate to her as well. Because we're in this together. So we filed a lawsuit. What I didn't get to is we filed a lawsuit against these people, Steve. And I'll tell you, well, the one thing they didn't see coming, they didn't see us securing a temporary restraining order against them to prevent them from voting to censure us. But now we're playing all these games in the courts where they're filing all these motions to delay this thing. This just racks up the legal bills. It's very painful. Yeah,
they're going to try to. Okay, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to figure out how to have your back. This is a nationwide crisis, at these schools and the posse's at the forefront of it. So we've got to figure this out.
I appreciate it. Reinforcements are needed, Steve.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for coming on. Happy Thanksgiving. Let's bring it. I got Darren Beatty. Beatty, you're seeing it right there, dude. I mean, you've warned about this from the beginning. This is where they're trying to crush. Those people out there at the forefront of taking this on is the ones they're trying to destroy. And they're going to use every means necessary to other you. Darren Beatty, you had kind of your article in up in the Revolver.News talked about this. Tell us about it.
Well, it's made a really big splash, and it's really, in many ways, the sequel to a previous piece that was a huge hit, albeit extremely dark. And that was a piece that explored the parallels between the Bolshevik revolutionary period and the period that we're in now. This piece, which is a successor piece to that in many ways, explores the parallels between the American deplorables and the class known as the Kulak class in Bolshevik Russia. And so it's an interesting history lesson, but it's also a very dangerous lesson about our present, and about our future in this country.
Talk to us. I got about 30 seconds to hold you over through the break. Give us the headline. You're going to give us the payoff of the break. What's the headline?
Well, the headline is, are you ready to be an American Kulak? Because that's essentially what the deplorables are. The principal Kulak class, the enemy class of the regime, it's middle class, working class whites, but not only whites. It's expanded just as the definition of Kulak has expanded. It's become a catch-all expanding phrase for the enemy of the regime on whom everything is blamed, the only acceptable villain class. And it encompasses everything you see from the pushback against the CRT movements, everything else.
Yep. Just take a short commercial break on the kickoff to Thanksgiving. Darren Beatty, publisher of Revolver.News, is going to join us next. Hey, look, let me be frank. I can't get going in the morning until I get jacked up on some coffee. And I've got coffee now that I absolutely love. It's from Minuteman, Minuteman Coffee. This is a company you're going to love. It's a coffee you're going to love. It's bold, not bitter. It's smooth but unique, particularly if you like dark roast, medium roast. If you like these types of roasts, they roast it by the batch. It's all handcrafted. So go to Minuteman Coffee today. At checkout, type in War Room. You get 15% off your first order. They also have a subscription plan that you can manage on your own. But one thing I can tell you, try Minuteman Coffee. We're very proud to partner with these guys. They support the first responders. They support constitutional sheriffs, veterans, the military, our servicemen and women, charities all over the place, particularly to back our vets and to back first responders. So go. You want some good coffee? No, you want some great coffee. Go to Minuteman Coffee. Do it today.
We've come to the time in the season when
family
and
friends gather near. Talk about a world turned upside down. I'm just informed by our Evercrack production staff that in the live chat they're referring to Darren Beatty as hot. Somebody's into the Thanksgiving grog a little early in the morning. Darren Beatty. So, Darren, I want to frame this, and it's up on Revolver. It was the lead story. Are you ready to be an American kulak? I need everybody. We got to push this out. Everybody's got to read and think about it. Here's why. In the Bolshevik Revolution, there were very few Bolsheviks. In the Cultural Revolution, there weren't a lot of communists. But what they focused on, and they go to the village, because they understand in the villages and the towns, there is a social order. There's a natural social order. And kind of the head peasant, because they're the most organized and they're out there, and they underpin civic society. To take over the society and to crush the society, you must break the family. The way you do that is you got to take out the kulaks. That's the head peasants, right?
Right.
That is where we are today in America. That is why I led this segment with having Daniel Weston from Texas, north of Austin, Sergeant Cooper. These are parents now who are either on school boards or going to school boards and saying, what are we doing? And all of a sudden, they're attacked. They're domestic terrorists. Darren Beatty, walk us through this.
That's a perfect example. And yes, as kind of it's a theoretical matter, the kulaks were the peasants who were hated by the other peasants, because traditionally the kulaks engaged in money lending and other practices that peasants didn't really like. But over time, in the Soviet context, in the Bolshevik context, the kulak simply became an ever-expanding catch-all term for enemies of the regime. Whenever anything went wrong, it was always because of the kulaks. It was always because of the wreckers. And mistakes never resulted in an honest, critical self-reflection by the regime as to how we improved it. All the mistakes did, all the failures did of the Soviet programs, was led the regime to persecute the kulaks ever more vigorously. And you see the parallel here in the globalist American empire today, where the kulak class is now transmuted into what we broadly call the deplorables. And you see it at every second. The deplorables are the only acceptable villain class in the United States. And everything that goes wrong has to come back to, oh, somehow the deplorables did it. Another excellent recent example, other than your guest just now, is the truckers. We just heard from the truckers that they're simply not interested in abiding
the unvaccinated truckers. They're the problems of the Pete Buttigieg's. What it leads to also is the struggle sessions. We talk about the struggle sessions. You have to humiliate these people. They have to be othered, and they have to be humiliated. They have to go through struggle sessions. The unvaccinated, the people stand up at school boards. This is why all the articles, the article this week, Bannon's radical vision. That radical vision is get people engaged at the local level. But those are kulaks. It's going to be a problem.
Right? No, they think you're leading a kulak revolt, Steve. And that's essentially what you're doing. But yes, the parallel is very striking, and you see it in every element of how politics is playing out today in America. The only acceptable villain class is the white, middle, working class. And it's not just the race and all those designators. It's also economic designators like small business owner, concerned parent, homeschooling parent. All of these things are telltale signs of being a member of the hated kulak class that's reviled by the American regime and is now more than reviled. It's essentially been targeted by the regime as a domestic terrorist threat and enemy.
You've got. I want to also make sure people go. Let's get them back up. This is a follow-on or sequel to the first piece. Walk us through briefly. Take a minute. Walk us through the first piece, because I want to bundle them up and make sure people read both over this holiday weekend. Because you need this is the framework. You need to start thinking and framing, right? You need to frame, right, to get the nomenclature, understand the day-to-day of what's going on. What's your first piece about this?
The first piece just explored the parallels between our contemporary situation in the globalist American empire and the Bolshevik revolutionary situation. And there are many, and those parallels map on specifically to this parallel of targeting this wrecker class, this wrecker kulak class, and the increasing brutality that comes from that, and the fact that the state, the corrupt regime, is not able to calibrate on the basis of its mistakes, but simply funnels those mistakes into an ever-intensifying and more vigorous persecution of the enemy class, which in this case, in our case, is the deplorables. And so I encourage your readers, read the full piece, read the full Kulak piece. Yes. There's a ton of really interesting stuff. Excerpts from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was one of the first people to really identify the significance of the Bolshevik war against the Kulak and the de-Kulakization process in Soviet times. A lot of fascinating details in there for those who are interested in history. But again, for those who are really interested in understanding on a deep level the situation that we find ourselves today in the globalist American empire.
Okay, Darren Beatty, over. What's your social media, Darren? How do people follow
social
you?
Social media is at Darren J. Beatty, DarrenJBeattie on Twitter. And as always, revolver.news for the latest and greatest and best stuff coming. Kulak is right on the top, so read it, share it, and help people understand what situation we're actually dealing with.
Yeah, just a small answer. I was talking to one of the smartest hedge fund guys in the country who happens to be European but lives here. He was at, and he has a place in the Hamptons. He came, a friend of his daughter came over. She was the number one young woman in her one of the most renowned prep schools in the country, in this nation. She'd been accepted early admittance to Yale in the political science, you know, to go arts and sciences, but focus on political science. So this is a top 1% of 1%. He's sitting there, he's got Solzhenitsyn's, I think the cancer ward or 1914, one of his profound works sitting there. And she goes, oh, this one's so interesting. Who's he? And he kind of goes, no, it's Alexander Solzhenitsyn. She had never heard of him. This is a top prep school going to one of the top universities in the country, had never heard the name, never heard it in her entire education. Shows you where we are.
Yes.
BD, thank you very much. We've got to go to Revolver every day.
Thank you. An
amazing site. Thanks, brother. And also, the star. He's the star of Tucker Carlson's controversial three-part film about 6th January. The one that the rest of the guys at Fox are losing it over. It's an amazing piece of work. And Darren's one of the big stars of that. Okay. Want to make sure tonight, 5 o'clock, Mike Lindell is going to join us. You've got his complaint up. Everybody can see it. I want to get the complaint back up so you can go into details of all of that. Mike's going to be to explain it, where he stands with the attorney generals and all this at 5 o'clock today. Make sure you go to MyPillow.com, promo code War Room. We're starting the holiday season, Black Friday on Friday. Peter Navarro will be co-hosting with me. And we on these logistics problems, if you order it from my pillow, you're going to get it. Pete Buttigieg is not going to become between you and your products or you and the gifts that you're sending to people. So make sure you go to MyPillow.com, promo code WARM. You got the sheets, toppers, slippers. You got the people are loving these the blankets, the throw blankets. They've got all of it. So go there today. You get the best deals when you go to use promo code WARM. So go there today. Want to bring in, I've got, this thing is extraordinary, and it's so extraordinary because what we're trying to do is give you intellectual framing devices or hooks, and to make all the madness that hits you every day, you got to have a way to frame it or to think about it. And there's a book that's just out by the guys at Javelin helped to put together, the great guys over at Javelin helped to put together the deal. Jeff Shepard is the author. He was in the Nixon White House. The reason this book is important today is to understand the whole Trump madness of all the investigations of the January 6th to do it. You've got to go back in time and look at the historical analysis. It's like the movie when they want to describe a war like Vietnam. You have a movie like Breaker Morant that talks about the Boer War. And there you can see all the elements of Vietnam. You can't really tell the story of a war, the deep story, unless you do it through another conflict. That's what's happening here, is that you can understand kind of what's happening if you go back to the original. And Jeff Shepard's, the stunning part of his book, he was there. The research of this is unbelievable. Jeff, give us your theory of the case of Watergate, which you explode in this book, and you do it by showing the receipts. Walk us through your theory of the case.
Well, sure, Steve. Thank you for having me on the show. What really happened was that Nixon did resign. He'd been reelected, and he was forced out of office. But it turns out he was forced out of office by a secret cabal of corrupt prosecutors, vindictive judges, and a complacent media. It was a takedown, which is just amazing. And the wonderful thing about it today, 50 years later, is they left a paper trail. And I've been very successful in uncovering these incredible memos from within the Watergate Special Prosecution Force. They're publicly available. I mean, I found them. I'm the first one to have analyzed them.
Okay, hang on. I want to make sure, because we're going to have you on a couple of times. I just want to make sure, because this is the kickoff to you coming on. Give us the title of the book, because Nixon won his reelection with 61% of the vote. Think about that today, Liz. 61%. This was a historic landslide.
He took every state except Massachusetts and the district. Never before or since. And
61%. And less than 2 years later, he's walking to the helicopter to leave. Less than 2 years correct?
In complete disgrace. I mean, a total wipeout. 24 members of his administration are convicted and imprisoned. He is not just wiped out. He's wiped out so thoroughly that even today, 50 years later, Watergate is considered the gold standard of corruption. And it turns out it was almost all fake. I mean, there was a break-in. They got caught. There was a cover-up. We know who did it. But Nixon's opponents skillfully flipped it. So they let the real advocates or the masterminds of the cover-up, but they let them go free.
I want to make sure people don't think you're a total nutcase. Okay? We're going to get to receipts in the next segment. But they hold up Ackerman and John Dean every now on MSNBC. The guys from Watergate are held up as the pantheon of law and order and good guys who helped do this. Well, tell me about John Dean. We got about a minute.
Let's take a minute about John Dean. He's a convicted felon. He's sentenced to 1 to 4 years in federal prison for his work on the Watergate cover-up. He's been disbarred for 40 years. And he shows up on these shows and they say, oh, here's the counsel to the president. But John Dean can't practice law. He can't represent clients. When he was disbarred, the Virginia Bar Association accused him of causing other people to lie to the grand jury, of destroying evidence, of embezzling campaign funds to pay for his honeymoon, and of authorizing payoffs to the Watergate burglars. I mean, the original prosecutors would not grant John Dean any immunity. That was granted by the Senate Irvin Committee. And then they built their whole public case of in making him into a hero. He's no hero. He's a felon.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We're going to return with Jeff Shepard, who's getting to the bottom, or has gotten to the bottom with the receipts of Watergate. Stunning book, stunning theory of the case, stunning set of facts. All next in the War Room.
This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.
You have homeowners insurance for a good reason, a very good reason, because without it, a fire, flood, or burglary could destroy you financially. But there's another major crime your homeowner's policy doesn't cover. It's called home title fraud. The FBI calls title fraud one of the fastest growing crimes, and it can ruin you financially, which is why you need Home Title Lock. Title fraud happens when a criminal forges your signature on documents stating you sold your home to him. Then he takes out a loan against your home and leaves you with the payments. You'll spend a fortune in legal fees trying to prove you didn't commit fraud. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title. The instant they detect anyone, from a cyber thief to a renter to a relative trying to forge their way into your home's title, they help shut it down. Let me repeat that. They help shut it down. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim. And enter radio, R-A-D-I-O, enter radio for 30 days of free protection. That's code radio at Home titlelock.com. Let me give you that again. Code radio at hometitlelock.com. Get this protection and get it today. I was recently introduced to one of the coolest gun products that I've seen in a long time and wanted to share it with you immediately. It's called the iTarget Pro, and it allows you to dry fire practice with your actual firearm in the comfort, safety, and privacy of your own home. In other words, without old Joe looking over your shoulder. With the cost of ammo through the roof, this gives law-abiding gun owners a better way to train regularly. No more inconvenient trips to the range or expensive practice ammunition. Let me repeat that. No more inconvenient trips to the range or expensive practice ammunition. Just download the iTarget's proprietary app, load the laser bullet into your firearm, and start your training experience. Dry fire training will help develop muscle memory, sharpen target reaction speed, sight alignment, trigger function, and more. iTarget Pro comes in all the major calibers, including for your AR, so you can stay sharp with almost any firearm. Go to iTargetPro.com right now and save 10% plus. Get the free shipping with the offer code Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N. That is the offer code Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N. This is the smartest way for you to practice, and it pays for itself in one day. Let me repeat that. This is the smartest way for you to practice, and it pays for itself in just one day. That's the letter iTargetPro, iTargetPro.com, iTargetPro.com, offer code Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N. Once again, iTargetPro.com, offer code Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N. Use your agency. Take action, action, action. Do it today.
Censors us, deplatforms us. Conservatives have been helpless to do anything about it until now. Join Getter, the social media platform that supports free speech and opposes cancel culture. On Getter, you can express your political beliefs without fear of Silicon Valley liberals coming after you. Getter is led by former Trump advisor and War Room co-host Jason Miller, who saw what big tech did to President Trump and decided to fight back. Getter is the fastest growing social media platform in history, with 2 million users, including prominent conservatives like Mike Pompeo, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Steve Bannon. Join Getter. It's in the App Store, the Google Play Store, and at Getter.com. Longer posts, longer videos, sharper and clearer pictures. And unlike the Silicon Valley oligarchs, Getter will never sell your data. Send a message today. Join Getter. It's time to cancel culture.
Okay, I want to thank everybody, and particularly thank everybody in the live chats. By the way, I think there's like half a dozen to 10 different forums, chat rooms, Real America's Voice, warroom.org, over at Telegram, all over the place. Join one that you feel comfortable with and let it rip. We have people monitoring them the entire time, so don't think your voices are not heard. I'm getting fed information the entire time of how the show's going, what your reaction are to a certain guest, and all your sidebar comments, which I love all you guys. Okay, I've got Jeff Shepard. This book's really incredible, The Nixon Conspiracy. It's going to, you're going down through the what the rabbit hole into the looking glass. Jeff, how did you get all the documents that back this up? That's the key, because you don't just thought some theory like a lot of stuff in the Kennedy assassination. You actually back it up with the receipts. How did you go back and do this?
That's correct. Well, there's two points of entry. One, the prosecutors developed this plan, this secret grouping of evidence to bring Nixon down. And it was called the Watergate roadmap. And they prepared it for the grand jury, and then they transmitted it to the House Judiciary Committee. And since it was grand jury evidence, it stayed secret. It was secret for 45 years. And I finally got it unsealed by court order in 2018. So for the first time, me and Nixon's lawyers and other people could learn what the prosecutors accused Nixon of doing. We couldn't refute it before. We didn't know what it said. The other grouping of documents, the four of the top prosecutors took their sensitive files with them when they left office. And that was Archibald Cox, the first special prosecutor, Leon Jaworski, the second special prosecutor, James Vorenberg, who was Cox's top deputy, and a younger lawyer named Phil Lacavara. Well, the first cache of documents surfaced at National Archives in 2013. I was the first to see that. Lacavara gave his documents back to the archives in 2020. The Archie Cox documents and the James Vorenberg documents are at Harvard's Law Library. And I was the first in every instance to review and analyze them. And of course, they make more sense to me because I was on the other side during the Watergate scandal itself. I was deputy counsel on Nixon's defense team. So I know where to look and what to ask for, but dozens and dozens of documents. They're cited in the book. And if you go on my website, www.shepherdonwatergate.com, you can electronically link to all of those documents. So I'm sharing my research with the world because it's the research, it's these sensitive internal prosecutorial documents.
This is okay, damaged. But hang, here's what I don't get. You were a junior guy, and I think you got up to deputy on the policy, domestic policy council, but why did Nixon, who's a pretty savvy, tough guy, why didn't they fight back in a smart way instead of the way they did fight back? I mean, what's kind of amazing, given what you lay out here and how corrupt the prosecutors were and all this, why didn't any of the establishment, why didn't anybody have Nixon's back and actually putting forward a counter argument to all this 50 years ago?
Well, I think about that every day, Steve. Nixon was not a popular man within his own party. He didn't have coattails. So when he got reelected, he didn't bring a lot of Republicans to the Congress with him. He was caught hugely surprised by John Dean. John Dean was his lawyer, except Dean was doing all these criminal activities to try to protect himself. And Dean's flipped on him. And then Elliot Richardson, who became Nixon's attorney general, Elliot chose not to fight. And he allowed the creation of the Watergate Special Prosecution Force. It was 100 people. Imagine, I mean, 60 of them were lawyers, but 100 people. And they announced at their opening press conference, they would investigate every single allegation made against Nixon from the time he took office. Not just Watergate, everybody and everything. It was a legal pogrom. There, before Nixon, I mean, there was 100 years before the previous impeachment, but the under Bobby Kennedy, the Department of Justice has assembled a personally recruited group of lawyers to get Jimmy Hoffa. It was in the organized crime section. It was called the Get Hoffa Squad. And what Archibald Cox did in the Special Prosecution Force, he reassembled a Get Nixon organization. That was their goal. There's even a memo from the new special prosecutor who inherited Cox's staff who complained that there's this drumbeat that everybody who's here thinks got to get Nixon at all costs.
All costs. Okay, hang on. We're going to obviously drill down. It's on Amazon's The Nixon Conspiracy. Give your website again real quickly so people can get to you.
Sure. www.shepherdonwatergate.com. We'll you got to spell Shepherd correctly, but you can see it on the screen.
We'll get all that, and we'll make sure it's in the chat rooms. Incredible. I got to figure out how to do a special on this because you can understand the statics, dynamics, and methodologies of all this if you understand Watergate.
Okay. That's absolutely Jeff, true. This was the roadmap of how to take down a president.
Jeff Shepherd, you're a patriot, brother. We're going to figure this out. Okay, back here at 5 o'clock, we're going to continue our Thanksgiving weekend shows. It's going to be explosive this afternoon. Make sure you join us at 5 o'clock. We've got a list of issues, topics, and information you're not going to miss. And then tomorrow, James Golden, Dr. Carol Swain, Roger Kimball, and Patrick K. O'Donnell join me in a very special Thanksgiving Day special. Make sure you join us for that. Okay, see you back here at 5 o'clock in the war room.
The Lord, He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord, He made you.